this time, we bring you dramatized stories of excitement, romance, and suspense from the files of interesting and fascinating people.
We present The Veil of Darkness, a story of violence and intrigue by Ron Evans.
We had escaped from the ambush by the skins of our teeth. Instead of meeting a guide as we landed from the Italian fishing boat on the coast of Yugoslavia, we were met by a hail of gunfire from a waiting ambush. My mission was to find a group of escaped prisoners of war and internees that was making its way across Yugoslavia to the coast, where it would be picked up by a flotilla of Allied vessels. The leader of this group was a British Royal Artillery officer, Major Clifford Ramsden, and he was acting under order relayed to him by military intelligence to make for the sea via Rajek Pass in the Montenegrin mountains. This had been a mistake, since it was found there was no way through, and the group of SKPs could find themselves helplessly bottled in the grim confines of the pass. Behind them, a group of Waffen SS, under the command of Major Gunther Scheer, was under orders to eliminate or recapture them. I'd been sent with two Yugoslav guides, Joseph and Maria, to turn the SKPs away from Rajek Pass to a road farther north, which would bring them to the sea. But now we lay in some grass, looking towards the narrow wooden jetty where we'd been ambushed a few minutes earlier. They're German, Maria.
I told you, I heard them talking.
They're all gathered on the jetty. I can see they're wearing civilian clothing.
Posing as partisans. An old trick. But they are as German as Hitler himself.
We must move into the woods before they begin searching for us.
No.
But what else can we do?
They think we've made a run for the woods already, which is why they're off guard and standing together in a group. They make a lovely target.
There are 10 of them, Paul.
Look, for the sake of our own security, they mustn't get a chance to report our escape. Then more Germans will be drafted in to hunt us down. But if they're found dead, it'll be blamed on one of the local partisan groups, and the heat will be off us.
Yes, that is true, but if
we can crawl into close range, we can get them. The biter bit, so to speak. But we must move now before they separate. That's close enough. Maria, you aim for those who run to the right. Joseph, you fire for the ones who scatter left. I'll concentrate on the center. Are you ready?
When you say the word.
All right, ready.
Right.
Forward.
The killing was done with cold efficiency. When silence fell, we were sure the 10 Germans were dead. Maria ran forward, her Sten gun held at the ready. We followed behind, using more caution. We saw the silhouette of a figure rise from the ground ahead of Maria, his hands raised. The body fell back, and Maria walked over it as though it had never existed. We joined her as she checked over the other bodies.
They are dead. Where is Joseph?
He's taking a look over there. He says there's a road.
Yes, the one that leads to Verkhozy.
Verkhozy will be our first stop.
Where you meet your contact?
Yeah, that's right. Here's Joseph coming back.
They came in two cars which are parked at the roadside.
Good. We can take one of them into Verkhozy, then dump it somewhere. Cars were of the type used by the civil administration. I looked inside them both and found nothing of interest, except that the keys had been left in the ignitions. I glanced at my watch. It was only a few minutes after midnight. We could be in Verkhozy in less than 30 minutes. Then I saw a huddled body lying behind the second car. As I rolled it over, I saw Maria and Joseph approaching. Joseph stooped and looked at the face.
It's the old fisherman who signaled us in. The spine has got his throat.
Well, we'd best leave him here. But first, let's destroy this car.
This incendiary grenade will do it. I'll open this window here and throw it in as we pass.
Yeah, that'll do fine. Now, come on. Okay, Joseph.
Yes, all it wants is a car. It's a great pity.
Meanwhile, far to the northwest, Major Ramsden was unable to sleep. He'd interrogated the two German officers his group had captured during a rearguard skirmish. He got out of bed and ordered one of his men to bring before him Lieutenant Gorin, the senior of the two men. In a few minutes, the German was seated before him in the light of the crackling fire. Two burly Russian ex-infantrymen standing close behind him.
I've brought you here because I'm not satisfied with the story you told me earlier.
There is no more to tell.
Your unit is part of a Waffen-SS battalion. Why are you separated from the rest? And why were you so closely following us but avoiding contact?
We were making for Komasek. Your group lay between us and the village.
No, Herr Lieutenant. I believe you were under orders to observe my group, to report our progress until the rest of your battalion catches us up. Am I correct?
I will say no more.
Then I will assume that I am right. Somewhere behind, an SS battalion is coming for us. How far away are they?
You know I am only obliged to give my name, rank, and number, Herr Major.
Since when did the SS observe the rules of the Geneva Convention? Really, Lieutenant Gorin, let's be realistic. If our positions were reversed, I would be tortured into giving you the information and then hanged. Am I right?
You believe your own propaganda.
Do I? You forget I was a prisoner myself. I know it for the truth at first hand. When I was taken at Crete, I was hanged for an hour by my wrists, which were tied behind my back. It was a horrifyingly painful experience. I talked in the end, but I had the presence of mind to only tell of things that could do no great damage. So please, don't tell me about the rules of war. Well, Lieutenant Gorin, you commanded the company which followed us, therefore you must know the reason why, and I want
it. You said you would believe your assumption about a battalion following you up. Please continue to believe it.
I see. I think that's as close to admitting it as you ever will.
The knowledge will not help you, Herr Major. Your tiny force will be overrun in minutes.
Ubak.
The man is a fascist.
You're wrong, Maria. He's been working for Allied intelligence for years.
Ubak, your contact.
Mm-hmm.
I would never have believed it possible.
If what Maria says is true, this could be another trap.
If you're both so damned worried, I'll wait here while you circle the farmhouse.
It would be better, Paul. I'll go this way.
Go on, Joseph. Hurry up. But whoever's inside will have heard the car. I thought so.
Who is there?
A friend from the mountains, old man.
Come inside.
Come on, Joseph. Maria can follow us when she's happy that Ubak doesn't have a division of SS waiting in one of the barns.
Have some more peach brandy, my friends. I make it myself.
It is quite illegal, of course.
Everything you do is illegal, you old rascal.
A man must live.
Well, it's as well for us that you do.
What do you want of me?
Shelter for the three of us until tomorrow night. And then we move on towards Rajek Pass.
And Rajek Pass? Mm-hmm. Strange place to go. Nothing ever happens there. It is desolate. Not even the partisans go there.
It's a long story, Ubak, but that's our destination. We want to avoid all the partisan groups between, and you can help us in that respect.
It can be done, but with difficulty, and the road will be long, almost twice as far.
Can you work us out a route on a map?
I can, yes. But between here and Rajek Pass lie two major partisan groups.
Can we avoid meeting both of them?
Possibly, yes, with great care and stealth.
Mm-hmm.
You will have to pass through both territories using goat tracks and a compass. As for the main roads, do not go close to them. There has been a great deal of German military activity on them of late. They send out small, heavily armed motorized patrols, which shoot at everything that moves.
The car we came in will have to be hidden.
No, I will worry about that. Some of my farmhands will bury it in the morning.
Where will we stay? In one of the barns?
No, no. I get many overnight visitors, and I made provision for them long time ago. There is a cellar with a sliding panel leading into a second cellar below the yard outside. You will find all you need down there. A search party will never find you, not even if they burn down the house. But first, we must drink some more. All day tomorrow you can sleep the sleep of the innocent.
You knew we were coming here?
Oh, yes. I was told by the British intelligence.
Are you in radio contact?
Of course. Hidden in the woods is my own little radio station. Tomorrow I will signal them that you arrived safely.
Somebody betrayed us. The Germans were waiting for us at the landing place.
One never knows who to trust. The Germans have many informants.
And you, Uwe?
Do you suggest that I betrayed you?
Maria, please.
I have passed harmless information on to the Germans from time to time, yes. This has been done by arrangement with the Allies. It puts me above suspicion and safeguards my position here.
And that makes sense.
If you were betrayed, you must look elsewhere for the culprit. Now drink. Let us forget about this war for a little while.
After Ubak had finally emptied his bottle of peach brandy, he took us below to the cellar. We climbed down a flight of wooden steps from a squeaky trapdoor. The cellar was empty, apart from some racks of wine and more peach brandy. A shelf against one wall was pulled out to reveal what appeared to be bare brick, with a nail protruding from it. Ubak twisted the nail for a moment and then pulled. A section of the wall slid silently outward. The other side was more like a small apartment with four beds, each in their own small cubicle, and a central furnished lounge. It was getting close to dawn when we finally went inside, so we looked forward to a few hours' deep sleep. I half undressed and lay on the bed for a while. A shadow passed me several times, and I realized it was Maria pacing the floor. I got up again.
I thought you would be asleep by now.
How can I, with you walking up and down like a caged lioness?
I'm all right.
Something's bothering you. Is it Ubak?
How do we know he hasn't gone straight to the Germans?
I know. I just relax. I've worked with Ubak several times in the past, and he's always come up aces. Now get yourself some sleep. From what he's been telling us, it could be the last for some time to come.
I don't sleep a lot.
Well, then just lie back and think nice thoughts.
I'll try.
Good, because I get ratty when I can't sleep. Good night, Maria.
Good night, Paul. Paul?
What is it now?
Talk to me for a few minutes.
What about?
Let me sit here, beside you.
Really, Maria, this is no time
to... I find you a very beautiful man, Paul.
Hmm?
Are you really so cold as they say the Englishmen are?
Your hands are cold on my chest.
My heart is warm. Kiss me, Paul. Please. Oh, must I show you how? It is done like this. Ah, you do have a spark of feeling in you.
I'm not a machine.
If you were, I'd fill you full of oil and make you go faster.
What about Joseph?
Oh, he sleeps the sleep of the dead. He will not waken for many hours. Paul. Paul, just the nearness of you takes away my breath.
Saunders. You want me, Chief?
Chief? Really, Saunders, I'm a major, not one of your Red Indian leaders. Who have you detailed to cover our rear?
The Poles and the six Frenchmen.
And the Russians?
Well, some of them were on guard duty last night. The rest are due to relieve the British and Americans to head the column.
That
That Russian officer, what's his name?
Dmitry Arkhanov.
Yes, well, he seems a rather reliable fellow.
One of the best, if you ask me.
What about the prisoners? Did you see them off?
Oh, sure. They went off down the trail like scalded cats, much to the disgust of the Ruskies.
Is the Major in there?
Oh, no, not her.
What's wrong with you, Captain?
That woman. I'd rather face a panzer division than do battle with her.
Who is she?
She's an English battle axe who joined the column 2 days ago.
I demand that you tell this guard to let go of my arm.
All right, Corporal Huskins.
You, I take it, are Major Ramsden in the flesh.
Correct, madam. And who might you be?
Lady Agnes Collier, late of the Chinaki internment camp. May I sit here? Thank you.
Yes, yes. Please sit down.
Yes, I am seated, Major. All yesterday I tried to see you, and those brutes you call guards wouldn't let me past.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but you will appreciate that yesterday was extremely busy.
Yes, I hear you knocked hell out of the Hun. Pleased to hear it. Now, that's what we need if we're to reach safety.
Excuse me a moment. Captain Saunders, will you see that my orders are carried out? And tell Lieutenant Halford that we shall be moving off in 15 minutes.
With pleasure, Chief.
Blast a man and his chief.
Americans, you know. One can expect anything from them.
Was there something you wanted to see me about, Lady Collier?
Well, of course. Why else would I force myself in here? It's about the women and children. I've taken charge of their welfare. We need fresh milk, blankets, and if you could commandeer some vehicles on the way, it would be a great help.
I'm doing everything possible. Vehicles are out of the question. We're moving into the mountains, and there are no roads, only rutted tracks. As for milk and blankets, I hope to obtain these at Komasek, which is a village 12 miles from here. I hope to reach there before nightfall.
I expect you to do your best, Major. Twice a day at 9 in the morning and 5 in the evening, I will report personally to you and convey my needs. Kindly see that your bully boys allow me to pass. I can assure you that I am not an assassin.
Yes, Lady Collier.
I've taken enough of your time until 5 this evening. Oh, yes, Major. You must obtain some warmer clothes for us from these peasants. The rags we are wearing at the moment are totally inadequate. Good day to you. Wake up.
What is it?
It is time you were up.
What's the time?
After 12 o'clock. Zubak brought some food and more of his peach brandy.
Ooh, just the thought of that stuff.
There is some wine as well.
Mm-hmm. Where is Joseph?
He went out. Come over to the table. There are things we must talk over.
I'm coming. What's to eat?
A sort of goulash. Mm-hmm. It tastes all right.
Right. What's there to talk about?
About Joseph. Hmm. He cannot be trusted.
What's the matter with you, Maria? Are you suffering from some kind of persecution mania?
What is that?
Oh, never mind. What's wrong with Joseph?
If Ubak did not betray us to the Germans, he did.
Well, how do you work that out?
Only us, Ubak, and the old fisherman knew we were coming. The fisherman was killed by them, so I doubt if he was the informer. That leaves only Joseph.
And you?
Me? How can you say that to me, Paul? I hate the Germans more than anything else in this world. I thought, Doctor, what happened between us and...
Oh, calm down, Maria. I was only making a point. Now, look, you say Joseph is a traitor. What if he comes to me and says you are the traitor? What am I to believe then?
You will believe me, Paul. We are lovers, my darling. There must be implicit trust between us. You say Ubek can be trusted, therefore Joseph is the traitor. Is that not so, Paul?
I don't know. If he is a traitor, he'll make a mistake and I'll catch him.
What then?
What else? A bullet through the back of his head, of course.
Very well. We shall wait and see. But pray he does not lead us into another German trap beforehand.
I'll be on my guard.
Let me pour your wine.
Mm-hmm. Not too much, sir. Wine makes me sleepy.
Now you have eaten, you can sleep some more. Both of us. Like last night.
Major, Dmitry and his men are back.
Oh, good. What do they report?
Well, they watched the village for 2 hours before going in. It's deserted.
Deserted?
Everything is gone. Food, bedding, livestock.
They've evacuated.
Could be. They could have heard of our approach and...
Or the approach of the SS behind us.
It's possible, I suppose. Did the Russians circle the place, check the country around?
Yeah, 2 miles deep.
The villagers must have gone into the mountains, and there must be a clear reason.
What, partisan activity, do you think?
Could be, yes. The partisans could have ordered the village to be evacuated. Well, Saunders, we must continue to move ahead. I hope to reach Komasek by 5, so we'll have to be on our guard.
I could send patrols on ahead to occupy the village and make it ready for our arrival.
Yes, do that.
Right.
I'm expecting something else at 5.
What?
That woman. Anyway, she'll have to damn well wait until we're settled in for the night.
Yeah, you mean that woman. Is she real? I mean, is she what she claims to be?
You could bet your life on it. The Lady Colliers of this world built and organized the British Empire in their day. Meeting her here in this column was a nasty shock, believe me, Saunders.
Well, what did she want?
It would appear that she's taken charge of the women and children. Her present and future demands on our resources don't bear thinking about.
I have spent most of the day drawing this map for you. If you look here and here and over here... These areas you must avoid.
Mm-hmm.
The patch marked in yellow is Kresko's territory. The one in red is Pavchek's. The darker inner areas are the most dangerous. You will have to cross both the outer areas, I know, but do so at night.
We intend to do most of our traveling by night.
Good. Now, these lines here denote the German strong points. You can easily avoid them. Now, once you have passed through the Royalist area, you should have a clear and safe run to Rajek Pass.
That'll be a relief.
It's getting late, Paul.
The lady is right. Take the map. I wish you godspeed and a safe journey.
Well, thanks for everything, Ubak.
The war will not last much longer. Perhaps if we meet again, it will be in happier times.
Yes. I certainly hope so.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Ubak. May God go with you.
Well, it's a nice clear night.
Moonlight can be dangerous.
You will have to excuse Maria. She's always looking on the black side.
It has saved my life on more than one occasion. Oh.
What's the matter?
I'm sorry. I've left something back at the house.
Oh, well, just forget it.
No, I can't do that. It's important.
Important? What is it?
Well, it's something personal. Please, I will not be long.
Wait a minute, Maria.
Wait here for me. I won't be long.
Oh, boy. Women. You know, she's probably left behind a makeup or eyebrow tweezer.
Maria is not like other women in that respect. She's gone back for some other purpose.
How do you mean?
She's become very close to you, Paul. I can see it in your eyes. But be careful.
Oh, no.
Do not trust her too far. She's cunning and she's very ruthless.
She doesn't trust you and you don't trust her. What is all this? Look, you were sent with me to advise and to assist in...
Grief, shooting.
Yeah, down at Ubak's house.
Come on, let's go and help.
All right, but be careful. It could be the Germans.
I ran the 300 yards back to Ubak's house. Joseph was close behind me. The door was closed. I cocked my Sten gun and gently pushed open the door. I found myself staring at Maria. She was still holding her machine pistol poised. Sprawled out on the floor at her feet lay Ubak, blood spattered over his shirt front from 3 gaping wounds. He was quite dead.
I'm sorry. It had to be done, Paul.
Maria, you're mad. You have to be mad. Why did you do it?
It's quite simple, Paul. I'm surprised you didn't think he would have betrayed us to the Germans.
it's ridiculous. How do you know?
I don't know for sure. I just had that feeling.
You can kill just because of a feeling? Is that the real reason why you came back here?
Yes. After we left the house, it was almost as though I knew. Can we afford to take chances just because you liked the man?
Liked him? Ubak was the linchpin for Allied intelligence in this area. Good grief, woman. I could have trusted him more than my own mother.
Veil of Darkness was written by Ron Evans, produced by Yolan Dottman, and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Springbok 930 Dossier, dramatized for broadcasting and brought to you on Springbok Radio.